Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio, year 12, I think. You can find the details for this show, and there's a lot of details, at tastingroomradio.com. It's part of the new Mulligan Stew website. MulliganStew.ca contains Mulligan Stew Radio, Mulligan Stew the podcast, and Tasting Room Radio. This is part two of our coverage of the 41st Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. Our guests are Matt Dumain, the winemaker at Freeform and Haywire, sitting in for Christine Coletta, who was down with the flu. John Skinner, the owner at Painted Rock. Valerie Tate, winemaker and general manager at Bench 1775. Stefan Arneson, the winemaker around the corner at Poplar Grove. Chris Yench from CC Yench on the Golden Mile Bench, grower, winemaker. Randy Pecton, senior winemaker at Inkameep in the South Okanagan. Victor Costa, the new winemaker at Lake Breeze. Roland Kruger, representing the Kruger family from Wild Goose from Okanagan Falls. Wild Bill Eggert from Fairview Cellars on the Golden Mile, winemaker, owner. Chris Wise, the leader at Burrowing Owl. Ross Baker, the winemaker at Quail's Gate. And we finish with three friends from the Gaspereau Valley in Nova Scotia. Bruce Ewart, who left BC to go and be with his beloved in Nova Scotia, and created a winery that led the way. It's called Lacadie. Bruce Ewart, Rachel Lightfoot from Lightfoot and Wolfville, just down the road, and Jillian Mainguy, representing Benjamin Bridge, the House of Bubble in Nova Scotia, and frankly now across Canada. Those are the people we're talking to, with the help of technician and producer James Murray, and from Milk Communications, Christine Wilkinson, Bailey Jelinski, and Anna Stuber. Also my thank yous to Meg Mulligan, Corey Wood, John DeVries. All right, here we go. We start with two of the biggest names in the world of wine. Gina Gallo from the Gallo Family Wineries and her husband, John Charles Boisset from the Boisset Collection. At one time, they were competitors. Then they fell in love, had a French kiss, a real French kiss. They had twins. They each ran their own empires. And then Gina had to step off and do a battle with cancer that she beat back and has come all the way back. Here's part two of our coverage of the 41st Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. Cheers. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. I have a royalty in the room. This is the 41st Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. Gina Gallo is on my left, John Charles Boisset is on my right, and they have joined me here at the table. How are you?
Great. No political meaning on that.
No, none of that.
I'm so happy to be back. Thanks for having us.
When was the first time you came here for the wine festival? Do you remember?
9 years ago. And then it was back-to-back for about 6 years. I fell in love with this festival. And then we had twins.
Yes.
So they're seven. So yeah. I kind of was off the grid a little bit.
Twins.
But now
one is called Cabernet, the other one Pinot Noir.
Twins are a life force unto themselves. How many times have you been here, Jason?
Oh, many times. You know, we met before together, 2006.
Yeah.
And obviously 2009, and cannot wait for the next years as well, because Canada, Vancouver is inspirational, exciting, and very importantly, aspirational. Look
kinda
at where
nice,
we are.
Kind of nice. Gina, I need to know about your health. How's your health?
My health?
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Wow.
Thumbs up. I'm, for all those that are listening, a cancer survivor. And I don't know if I would have made it through without my lovely husband, Jean-Charles. It's a journey. It's a big journey. And it's not anything you'd wish upon anyone you love, but at the same time, going through it, the individuals you meet, the support team, the doctors, and all of that, it's changed my world. And God gives us what we probably need at the time. And I think I was running crazily with work and wasn't focusing on some of the balance of life. So, not that I am, I still need the balance, but.
Were you able to hand off some of all of that work and just concentrate on it, or did you try to do both at the same time?
When I was going through it?
Yeah.
You know what? I stayed very involved in the winemaking, tasting, all of that, definitely, but I was not traveling. I could not give up. The one thing I will never be able to give up in my life is making wine.
Yeah. Okay.
But it made us stronger together, and I saw Gina a lot more focused, very disciplined about the key priorities of life. So whoever goes through it, you need a very strong partner, and you need to be as a family fighting against that disease. But then you come out much stronger out of it than when you come into it. And that's the beauty of it, is that camaraderie, that fraternity, that friendship you build goes beyond just pure love and really surrounds you with a foundation, which is second to none, Terry. So not to wish it to anyone.
No.
But we are better now than we've ever been before.
We're all surrounded by it. We're all touched by it. It's as simple as that. I just wanted to know. That's all. Well, what are you pouring?
I'm pouring a Signature Series lineup. We have a little Pinot Noir that we're pouring here. Also a Cabernet from Napa and a Chardonnay from Russian River. This wine, the Signature Series, is all about our family estate vineyards that we've evolved over the many years. Our family started in 1933, and this particular vineyard, my grandfather purchased in 1977 when Russian River wasn't an appellation. He grew confidence through his garden, and he grew confidence because this particular vineyard had Riesling and also Gravenstein apples. He didn't own it at the time. It was in the 60s and early 70s. I'm sure he was poaching, but he would pick those apples, take them home down in the Central Valley where I grew up, and my grandmother would make apple pie, and he would taste that apple pie and say, you know what? Focus, crisp. And Gravenstein, if you have not tasted it, it's a very focused, nice acid, you know, and the apple pie was nutmeg, cinnamon, spice, but not gooey, not sugary, because he didn't like that in Chardonnay. So that gave him the confidence one day to purchase it. He had the opportunity to in 77, and here we go. And still today, for me and our family estate vineyards that we grow, it's my favorite Chardonnay.
How personal is the Signature Series to you?
How personal? Diehard. Very personal.
Yeah.
I had someone that came up to our table today, and he brought up the estate, because we have the estate Chardonnay and Cabernet, and he remembers it, and he's like, please get it back. Please get it back here, because I haven't seen it in a while. And he described why he loved it, and I said, you made my day. You made my day.
Jean-Charles, where do we start with you? You have Raymond in front of you.
Indeed, and just to say, Terry, thank you. Gina makes one of the best Chardonnay ever made in California.
Ever.
And this is the wine of our first kiss. So it's very, very important to me as well.
That's my lovely husband.
You never forget your first French kiss either, right, Gina?
No, and it was a true French kiss.
So I learned where the French kiss is really now. Well, you know, Raymond is all about Napa Valley, of course, from Cabernet Sauvignon to Merlot to amazing Chardonnays and Sauvignon Blanc. Today you have a pure representation of what a Merlot can be in Napa Valley, in Santa Elena on the estates. Powerful, but a lot of beautiful, amazing fruits. And I'm a big fan of Merlot because, you know, I'm from Burgundy. I like soft, elegant, refined wines, long-lasting but very silky and velvety. So this one has all the velvet you want, including on the label. Terry, I know you like to touch.
It's velvet. It's velvet, of course. I went over and fondled it.
So ladies and gentlemen, black velvet label. This is your black tie. When you want to propose, when you want to celebrate, when you've made love and you want to relax, and before even doing so, you need your Merlot from Raymond.
Oh, my goodness. God. Oh, my goodness.
Who wound him up?
Vancouver. It's
Terry,
the place to be.
Terry, looking at my wife is so exciting. We might as well go to the room now.
Oh, stop. Stop now. We could be napping. What else are you pouring over there?
So we're pouring the Napa Valley Cabernet as well, which is, red velvet label as well, which is a Cabernet with a touch of Petit Verdot in it. And which is so interesting is we feel a very new trend in the heart of Napa. Wine made by two women. I'm a huge believer in feminine winemaking, of course. My wife is amazing, but Stephanie Putnam as well. And why do I bring it up is because it's wine with a lot of emotion, a lot of sensitivity, a lot of touch and elegance. Wine which is not about tannins, but it's about the power of the grapes.
Okay. You brought the LVE, and, you know, I'm a music guy, so John Legend is partnered with you. How did this happen?
Well, we became friends, and John really wanted to make wine, as many phenomenal celebrities. We typically say no, but we became close friends. He really had genuine interest and knew how to make great wines, at least from a stylistic standpoint, which really inspires him on his harmonious music. So we made it together. We made 100% Napa Valley Cab, a Chardonnay, a red blend. And the wines are great, very successful. You could taste them on all his concerts. And I'm excited to tell you a little scoop. We're launching a rosé, but guess how? The only wine you're going to be able to bring in a concert, which will be in a can.
Okay.
And that's pretty cool because wants everybody to carry a wine in the concerts, and glass you cannot. So we are thrilled.
Oh, there's so many questions. All right, here's the thing. Does Gallo still do the 50-50 give back?
Yes, we do. So my grandfather started that. Every acre planted that is in vineyard, 1 acre stays in natural habitat. And that's part of our love for sustainability.
Let's talk about balance. You made a comment in a speech the other day. You don't do many speeches. And that is that, yes, we have new technology. We know how these vines are doing. We can tell, you know, this, the whole digital world is upon us. But nothing beats a winemaker grower walking through the vineyards and knowing that piece of land every year for years and years and years. Nothing replaces that.
Nothing, Terry. I mean, my grandfather had a wonderful saying, your richest goods are the soil beneath your feet. And the best vineyards are the footprints of the farmer in that vineyard. And it's so true. You really have to know them like your children.
How many tasting rooms, John Charles?
15 in California and another 12 in France, in Burgundy and Beaujolais and the Rhone Valley.
And how many vodkas?
Well, we have three made from Pinot and Chardonnay grapes. One which is infused with Beluga caviar from the southwest of France, and one which is infused with the bounty and beauty of the earth, black truffle.
And can you possibly tell us right now, in the last minute that we have, that you will never, ever, ever, ever make wine together?
Well, we love to make babies.
Yeah, and you did so well.
And they're gorgeous and alive and very exciting. I think the beauty of Gina and I, we taste so many wines together that one day, I'm sure, we will dedicate a wine to our ladies.
Okay, I understand that. That makes
sense. I look
forward
to that.
God bless you.
Thank you, Terry.
God bless you, Terry.
To the love of wine and music.
Thank you, thank you.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio, the 41st Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival, while planes take off from Harbor Air. Chris Wise, Burrowing Owl, sat down and joined us in the studio. Well, the studio. It's not really a studio. It's a room, and we're part of it. Chris, tell me about your history with the Vancouver Wine Festival. How far back?
We've been coming here as long as it's been going, to be honest. We've been in business since 97, and the festival has been a big part of our annual effort to promote our products. It's always been fun. I think the most important thing that we've seen from the very beginning is giving BC Wines a chance to be seen in the public against the world's wines. It's a great chance.
Do you think Burrowing Owl really was driven by word of mouth?
You know, we came out of the gate with a quality first message and product. And right across the board, 100% premium, ultra-premium wines. And it definitely helped us get a good word of mouth going from the beginning.
Yeah. What are you pouring today?
We've got our Cab Franc, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and, I forget the fourth one. Might probably be a Merlot.
You had me at the Cab Franc, because I'm a Cab Franc hound. How much Cab Franc do you have?
Well, each year we produce about 25 acres of Cab Franc. We're planting more. It's been a big hit for us, I think for the whole valley. And it's a tough one to keep in stock.
Do you have surprises for us this year?
Nothing that's too crazy. Not at the show here anyway. I guess what we're seeing at the winery is we're starting to produce on and off some Malbec and some Petit Verdot, just small batches.
Yeah.
Usually what's left over after blending. And those have been received very well. We're producing. We have a second line, Calliope wines, which we're starting to play with some rosés.
It's called Approachable.
Yeah, very approachable, yeah. Fun wines, and that's really our place to play. We don't like to experiment with the Burrowing Owl wines too much. So as we create our style, we did the same thing with our Sauvignon Blanc when we were trying to find our oak balance. We did that in Calliope first and moved
on. So what clicked in Calliope that carried on to Burrowing Owl?
Well, I think the Sauvignon Blanc is a great example. We really didn't want to come out with an oaked Sauvignon Blanc in Burrowing Owl and get that oak balance wrong.
Yep.
So we spent a few years playing with it in the Calliope line just to see how it evolved, making sure that the tannins were subtle enough that they didn't overbear. And, I think it worked. We were just going through our whole vintage of all of our vintages of Sauvignon Blanc the other day. We have them tucked away in the library, and the first one that we produced is standing up fantastic, still not excessively oaky, and yeah.
Do you have something that you might surprise us with this year? I was thinking bubble.
No bubbles, no.
Okay. I saw a note go by today. I don't know what it was on, probably my phone. Someone in Ontario lamenting the fact that they couldn't find BC wines in Ontario. How much are you there?
We share as much wine into Ontario as we can. And the LCBO has been very helpful. And honestly, we probably couldn't release more to Ontario. We don't have it, but we give them everything we can.
Okay. Thank you for coming, and thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Chris Wise, Burrowing Owl. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, Canada's Winery of the Year. They're on winter hours right now until Easter weekend. Open Monday to Saturday from 1 to 4. Closed Saturdays and stat holidays. And they open for the summer on Easter weekend. And just a heads up to Wine Club members, the next shipment is in March, full of newly bottled releases. All the details at road13vineyards.com. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. And they're very happy to announce that they have opened their tasting room for the year. They have a library release of a 2013 Pinot Noir, along with their new Pinot Gris and the new Viognier and Chill. All the details at bench1775.com. It's the 41st Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. I'm Terry David Mulligan. And here's a guest who's been on the show 3-4 weeks ago. Barry Olivier, president of brands at Aquilini Red Mountain Wines. And I went over and fondled the bottles before you got here, Barry. And these are the same bottles that you were pouring the other day. You haven't snuck anything new in, or have you?
No. Good to see you, TD. I'm glad to be here again. I brought a special trade wine for you. It's a 2014 vintage that is currently sold out, but we had a couple bottles, and it was our very first wine made from Red Mountain, and it was Clips and Fruit, so a vaulted, esteemed vineyard, a 1989 planting. We couldn't get the fruit until I brought Philippe Melka to the vineyard site and introduced him to the owners of the vineyard. Prior, it was, who are you? But once Melka came by, Patricia was so gracious, and she said, yeah, I'll sell you 7 tons of fruit. And we were off to the races. We made about 350 cases in the 2014 vintage, and that's what you have in your glass.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Barry Olivier, who is the brand manager at Aquilini. Barry, how many days have you been at the wine festival?
Oh, this is my first day.
First day.
First day.
Right now.
Right now.
What kind of feedback are you getting across the table?
Well, it's 3:10 p.m., and we're sold out at the on-site liquor store of all three of our wines. So we're pretty excited. We're tickled.
Well, that's kind of interesting, because somebody knows that they're not going to be able to go into their local store to find that, and that's their one opportunity.
You might have helped with that. Thanks. Thanks so much.
That's wonderful. So what was in the store? All of them?
We had the rosé, the family blend, and the cab. Yes, all of them.
What's in the glass?
This is 2014 Cabernet Sauvignon.
And how much is left of it?
There's none. This is look at this handwritten label. That was the first vintage we had. It was handwritten, all handwritten by Samantha Stanley.
I'm going to take a shot of that. Did you do your Psalm pour at the Canucks game?
On Monday night, we did.
Did you?
Yes.
How'd it go? What did they think?
Fantastic.
Okay. Hi, gentlemen. Am I mic'd up? Am I on the air?
You're mic'd up.
All right.
Tell me about having those psalms at the game.
Oh, it was great. There was the psalm from Vancouver Club. We had the psalm from Terminal City. We had everything wine represented there. It was a great time. A lot of love in that room. Courtney Brida, she's our psalm at Rogers Arena, came by and personally poured some of the wines, decanted some of the wines for us. And it was a great time. Really good.
You have to increase production. I know that you're going to.
Yes.
When will we start to see that increased production from Aquilini?
Starting in 2016 vintage, we have closer to 2,000 cases. So it went something like this. 2014, there was about 350 cases.
Right.
2015, there was about 700 cases. 2016, which is being bottled next month, is about closer to 2,000 cases. So we like a gradual increase. I'm going to keep the demand ahead of the supply, of course. And you know, the eventual goal is to get to 10,000 cases, you know, which is not a lot of wine for the world, but it's a lot of wine at price points like this.
It's not often that you get to see a winery start from scratch, from a standing
Correct.
Still, standing still, baby steps, boom, out of the blocks.
Imagine this. We started 5 years ago. This is our first wine fest with wine.
Yeah.
That's how long it takes.
Yeah.
And so I'm elated, but, you know, people here are like, well, what have you been doing all these last 5 years?
What are the comments across the table? What are they telling you?
They really like the quality. They're very happy to see a quality and a QPR ratio that's
tell them, you know, what QPR is.
Quality price ratio. This wine you have in your glass is a mere $55.
Wait
it behaves like an $80 wine.
Minute. Would yummy work?
No.
Yummy would work.
You could say that, Terry, but that's... you got me. That's not sommelier lingo.
So anyway, it's yummy. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's just beautiful wine.
Well, what about the glassware? You like that glass?
I love the glassware.
You know what that is?
What?
Those are the IT glasses in fine wine world now. That's Zalto glass. It's called Zalto, and just look at it. If you look at Instagram and you look at the...
What's it meant for?
This is meant for a Bordeaux blend.
Okay, fine. Bordeaux blend. Oh, great. That's great.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What's the pepper you want us to eat?
Say it again.
What's that pepper you want us to eat, that green pepper that we had?
Oh, that's the Padrón pepper.
Okay, we have to eat Padrón pepper.
Padrón peppers. We had some at Chambar. Yeah, that's right.
And we have to have that glass. And we have to have Antolini.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
That's good, Jerry.
Okay. Just give us more rosé.
You like the rosé.
I love the rosé.
Well,
No. I knew I would like the big, heavy reds.
Yeah.
It was the rosé that I thought, okay.
Here's the rub. You know, Red Mountain is famous for being epicenter in Washington State for best Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah.
But the rosé is getting a lot of accolades over there, too. We sold out of the rosé in a minute.
Have you poured your reds for the neighbors down there on Red Mountain?
Yes, more and more. We love all of them. Tom Hedges, you know, Carl Solari, Antonori. We've met every one of our neighbors, and they're all so supportive of what we're doing.
All right. Thank you for being here, and congratulations on your first pour at the Vancouver Wine
Festival. Thank you for having us. Tons of time for you, Terry. Thanks.
Barry Olivier, who is the brand manager at Aquilini, and Samantha Stanway, who was that other voice that came flying in through. Thank you.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Oh, joy. The Canadians have arrived. This is the 41st Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. I'm Terry David Mulligan. As you know, California was the feature region. But now that we've done that feature region, it's time to get serious about our neighbors and our friends. And winemakers and principals from all over Canada will be joining us for the next couple of weeks talking about their wines. John Skinner, the proprietor and a true troublemaker at Painted Rock above Skaha Lake. And on the other side of that lake, also a dark character in his own right, Matt Dumain, Okanagan Crush Pad. Hello, guys. I'd like to know, I know those are glowing introductions, but I'd like to know what you brought to pour, because you both have big portfolios, and you just and this is the trade, people. This is the trade. What did you want to showcase, John, for them today, and why?
Well, you know what I brought today is I brought a wine that, really surprisingly, it's only the fourth vintage of Cabernet Franc that we produced. This is the third vintage that we produce. It's the 2016. And in my international travels, I've spent a lot of time in Europe, in the UK, down in the US, and it's just hitting it out of the park now. And you just never know. Like, I've been taking our blends and our Merlots and our Syrahs and such to all these international markets. But when the Cab Franc got to a place like Le Chep Enfin in Bordeaux, originally the wine director didn't want to taste it because he said, we'll only buy Cabernet Franc from four regions. He tasted it, and he put this glass down, and he said, we just found our fifth region.
Wow.
And my wine is now at Le Chep Enfin in Bordeaux.
Did he explain what it was about?
It was the bright acidity.
Okay.
And he said, we just can't get Cabernet Franc with a beautiful bright acidity that you can get in the Okanagan Valley. So it is now at Le Chep Enfin in Bordeaux. It's at the Clove Club in London. It's at some very top restaurants in the world. And it's being recognized for that.
Just an aside, John, Mondavi is pouring a Cab Franc here.
Can't wait to try it.
It is huge. It's ginormous. It's like a giant orange ball. It's unbelievable. So it's.
I can't wait to try it.
It's an incredible grape. I just love Cab Franc.
Well, it's really come into its own. And to me, it was very linear because we planted from scratch. And we only use our estate fruit. It was very linear for the first eight vintages. And then when we got vine age, it developed characteristics that were just profoundly different and impressive.
Hello, Matt.
Hello.
You brought Freeform.
Yes.
What else are you pouring over there? And then we'll talk about Freeform.
Well, we've got our Freeform Table, which is a new brand for Okanagan Crush Pad. It's really highlighting low intervention, natural, certified organic wines. We've got an Ancient Method, a Vingri, both 100% Pinot Noir. Our Skin Contact White, which is something a little different, a little special, 9 months of Pinot Blanc on skins. And we have Pinot Noir and Cabernet Franc. So everything's all certified organic. There's little to no additives at all. And we're really trying to highlight the sites. I mean, the wine I brought over here is a 2017 Vingri, which is 100% Pinot Noir from 40-year-old certified organic vines in Summerlin.
What does a new wine fan need to know about natural wines that doesn't scare them off?
I mean, inherently all wines are natural anyway. What we're really trying to do at Crush Pad is just highlight each vineyard in particular and treat and farm the vines, you know, the way they should be. Lack of additives, lack of chemicals, lack of synthetics, and you know, you need to taste the vineyard and taste the vine, taste the soil. The wines, you know, look at where we live in this pristine glacial environment. The wines need to be reflective of that scenery, right?
Is it more work for you? I mean, I know it's on paper, it says no, it's you just leave it alone. You let the wine do what it intended to do. But is it more concentrated for you?
There's a misconception that making natural wine is just leaving it alone and being lazy. It couldn't be further from the truth, right? There's a lot of handwork in the vineyard. There's a lot of just monitoring in the cellar. You can't make natural wine from commercial grapes, obviously, and you can't make natural wine from anything with disease. So lots of sorting, lots of eyes on the sorting table, the fruit just has to be pristine and perfect, and we watch it constantly.
Matt Domain, Okanagan Crush Pad, and all that entails. We'll get to Garnet Valley in just a second.
Thank you.
John, what's pissing you off these days?
What's pissing me off? Nothing. I don't, you know what?
What is it? Love and peace?
There's a new association called the Okanagan Wine Initiative, and we've got 8 really collaborative wineries that are working to get the Okanagan name on the world stage. And I couldn't be more excited about one thing, and that's the most recent development is that we have Checkmate and Martin's Lane involved as well. So it's kind of the big guys have come with the small guys, and we now have a team that we're going to go out on the stage and work together. And it has never been so collaborative as it is right now. And I'm a fan of the initiative and the opportunity that's before us.
And you're pouring at Canada House in London.
Canada House in London we are, as well as we've got a separate ancillary event at 67 Pall Mall. Yep. And a dinner with Jancis Robinson and Steven Spurrier.
Oh, stop. Come
no,
on.
This is good. These are serious influencers. No, it's it's really, well, you know what? They've given us their time, and we're honored. You know, we're aspirational, not chest pounding. We really are trying to get in front of them.
Are you as interested, John, in what's going on at Garnet Valley and the Pinot Noir planting up there as I am?
I
want to know what's going on in Garnet Valley.
Everything's online at the moment, so we've been making Ancestral since 2015.
Yep.
Our first table wine of Pinot Noir was released 2017, so you can taste that here at the festival.
Right.
This year we're putting another 15 acres in. We've got Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier for sparkling wine, and we've got some Chenin Blanc as well.
Are you doing bubble, John?
No, we're not. We've got our 5 Bordeaux varietals and Syrah and Chardonnay.
When I'm asked who to follow, who to watch, watch these guys, Matt Domain, John Skinner. Watch what they're doing. See how they inform the wines that they get their hands on and how everybody else is kind of watching what they do. These are the leaders right here. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you both. This segment of Tasting Room Radio was brought to you by Bench 1775. And they're very happy to announce that they have opened their tasting room for the year. They have a library release of a 2013 Pinot Noir, along with their new Pinot Gris and the new Viognier and Chill. All the details at bench1775.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. The first pink wine of the year is being released by The Hatch today in their tasting room. It's the 2018 Flippin' the Bird Rosé, best enjoyed upside down. A delightful blend of 82% Merlot, 18% Gamay. All the details at thehatchwines.com.
Two of my best friends in the whole freaking wine world. Truly. Right here, Val Tate from Bench 1775 and from Jentsch on the Golden Mile Bench, CC Jentsch. That's the one and only Chris Jentsch. Yeah. Welcome to the show. Hi, guys. Yeah.
Hi.
How do you like the, how many times have you, come, Val?
How do you like this room? I just came over here and saw this window and I'm like, are you gobsmacked? Yeah.
If how I many, get into radio, Terry, can I get a gig like this?
No.
Like
yeah. How many times have you been here, Val?
Six times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris?
It's my third time.
Okay.
Yes.
Were you difficult?
And it's a day-to-day thing with me. You know, they say, Chris, one more day and we'll give you a go at it.
Say, did you happen to see Val's article in the Vancouver Province this morning?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
no.
Beautiful.
Really?
Did you see it?
No, I haven't
Come
seen
on.
It yet. I better go and check it out.
Val's PR people saying, get up early.
They're just telling people how very, very special you are.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So
I
better
like
get
that
clipped.
So Val.
Yeah, no kidding, I'm going to go get one right now.
Val, normally I ask this question. What are you pouring today?
Yes.
But I made a list. There's the Chard, there's the Brut Rosé, there's the Semillon, there's the Chill Viognier, there's a Viognier, there's a Cab Merlot, Cab Sauv Franc, there's a Malbec Similkameen, there's a Cab Franc Malbec, there's a Meritage White, and a Blanc de Blancs.
Yes.
How many did you bring?
We brought only four wines to the show.
So does this imply that you just want to make one of everything?
I make a lot of wines. Yeah, I'm literally out of control. I've been told by my team I'm out of control. So, yeah, we make a lot of wines.
Which four did you bring?
Today we have the Sauvignon Blanc, the Viognier, the Cab Sauv Syrah, and the Grove, the ever-popular Grove.
There's a Chill there, too, you know.
Yeah, Chill hasn't been bottled yet. So.
But there's a Chill on ice.
Oh, my God, it's a I Chill can't... in B.C., it's just full on Chill.
Who were you talking to when you came up with those names?
You know, I really enjoy listening to music while I drink wine, and I thought that those would be beautiful wines to have on the patio listening to music, and that's how the names came
up.
You
weren't thinking of an age group?
No, I wasn't. Okay. But maybe I don't realize I'm not in that age group anymore. But okay. No, I was thinking more. It's about music, so Chill and Groove, music related.
Thanks, Val. I'm just turning the CC Jentsch bottle. This is a Small Lot Series Merlot 2015. Yes. Didn't we forget about Merlot, Chris?
Yes, I brought it back, and I'm glad we did. It's a beautiful vintage, you know, that we did it with the 15, and very happy with it. Yeah.
Where's the Syrah in all of this? Are you pouring
it? The Syrah is at home.
So what are you pouring at the table?
All our small lot Bordeaux-style type varieties, you know. So we've got our Malbec here. We've got both the Cabernet Sauvignon and the Franc here,
yep.
Chardonnay. And no, the Syrah is left at home. We're in between vintages. So,
define small lot.
About 200 cases. So about, you know, 4 to 6 barrels if they make it. And then we... you know, we test them, and if they're good, really good, then we make them into a small lot.
And you're a grower. Are you growing all of these, or are you purchasing?
No, we grow them all. Yeah. Yeah, you bet.
Good on you. How are your tractor skills these days?
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I'm on top of my game in that regard.
You are a great tractor driver.
No. I don't think there's anybody better, really.
You're probably right, actually. No, you're probably right.
Hey, Val, you know what's interesting about Bench 1775? You planted those grapes, didn't you?
We didn't plant all of the grapes, but we're replanting the vineyard, not on that Bench 1775 property because it was planted, the vines are now 15 to 17 years old. So we've only been a winery there for the last 8 years, but we are renewing the vineyard. So we just started a replanting program last year.
Renewing the vineyard.
You were taking out old vineyard blocks and putting in new vineyard.
What do you
want
to plant? What are you planting?
Well, we just planted Viognier and some Riesling and some Merlot. So we're...
Did you ask me if I wanted some Marsan-Roussan?
You know, I was keeping you in mind because I know you like that Marsan-Roussan, but that's going to come out of a warmer spot, like more like a Soyuz.
Is Bench 1775 going to be a blending house or is it going to be a single vineyard?
The Bench 1775, well, we do a lot of blends. Even single varietal wines are blended wines.
That's right.
Yeah,
from,
everything is a blended
wine. From different
locations,
yeah.
From different, sometimes it's from different parts of the same block. So different parts of the same block are picked separately, made into wine separately, and then blended later on together.
Val Tate, Bench 1775. C.C. Yench is the label. Chris Yench is the guy. He's the farmer. He's the guy. Actually, you have a winemaking assistant, do you not?
Yes. Yes, so Paula Cooper's there, and yeah, she's taking care of things in the wine cellar at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. How's the Golden Mile thing going as a name brand? Are people...
You know, I haven't really seen any. It comes up now and then, and it's people are talking about it. But ultimately, what's in your bottle will do its, you know, talking for itself.
You got to keep this guy away from the marketing people because it's Golden Mile. Come on.
Oh, no, there's many, many, many good areas. And it's a, you know, that's just one area of many, you know. So it's a, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any surprises this year from Yench?
Do I have any surprises? I'm doing some fortified work, you know, so we use some Petit Verdot. It's tasting really, you know, good. If you're ever in the cellar, we can do a little tasting of how it's coming along.
I can't keep up with you in the cellar.
So the Malbecs are tasting really nice. The Cabs are coming along. Like this year, I'm not sure about Val, but, you know, we thought we were ahead of the game all season. Come August, things slow down.
Yeah.
And everything sort of mellowed out right into November, and we got everything in. It looked really good. They're tasting good, so...
Yeah, Val, that late pick for us too. Yeah, very late.
Have you got any bubble coming?
I do have bubble. I've got a Pinot Noir that I'm doing as a Blanc de Noir, and that's still wine that's going to be fermented. I'm going to probably do the secondary ferment next month. So, yeah, it's going to be a while before that hits the market.
Okay, you're the GM. You should know these numbers. How many weddings did you do at Bench last year?
Oh, we didn't do that many, actually. Just three. Weddings. Yeah, that's it. Well, you know what's happening is that we're getting a lot of smoke in the valley.
Oh, yeah, that kind of kills it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and people are pretty worried. And I don't know if you remember, but there was an almost fire at Fitzpatrick Winery. You know, so I think a lot of people are getting a little bit jittery about fire situation.
Well, let's have them come back.
Getting married, Val? Or
You know what? I think people are off the whole idea of getting married. That's like so old-fashioned. Like, who does that anymore? It's like weddings are down.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Weddings are just down.
Just speak into the microphone. Thank you so much. Chris Yench, C.C. Yench, Small Lot Series, Merlot. By the way, he makes a wine called The Chase.
Oh, yeah. That's a great wine.
It is. I just want to say now, it is the only wine you want to buy named The Chase. Okay? That's it. And Val Tate is in charge of a ginormous team at Bench 1775 on the Nermata Bench. And anything that she's making, you can trust me, you're going to love this wine. Thank you both.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Thank you.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
If you're just joining us, where have you been? This is the 41st Annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We have talked to the Californians. It's time now to talk to our own. Stefan Arneson is the winemaker at Poplar Grove. And sitting beside him is Randy Picton, the senior winemaker at Incomeep. What are you pouring today? Because you have your portfolio is wide. What are you pouring at the
pool? Yeah, we brought our Quemquemp series, Chardonnay, our Quemquemp Pinot Noir, our Quemquemp Syrah, and we brought our Marim, which is our Bordeaux style blend, our big red. And in addition, for a treat, we brought our Quemquemp Riesling ice wine.
Nice. Stefan, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Thank you. What are you pouring at Poplar Grove?
At Poplar, we have our Rosé. It's a Malbec Merlot base. Our Pinot Gris, we brought from the 2015 vintage, we have our Syrah, our Cabernet Franc, and also our 2014 Legacy, which is our Bordeaux blend, Cabernet Franc.
The winner of the Judgment of BC.
Yes, that was a lovely surprise. Yeah,
I was there.
Were you there?
I was voting.
Oh, fantastic.
Very nice. I was thrilled, absolutely thrilled. But I have a nitpick.
Yes.
The wine club, years ago, before you even got there.
Yep.
The wine club made a Pinot Gris Viognier blend.
Yes.
It was the best thing I had tasted in years.
Oh, darn.
Is it still there?
We haven't made it for 2 years.
Could I convince you to revisit, at least think about it?
You can absolutely convince me
because
to rethink about it.
Because it was phenomenal.
Oh, I'm glad to hear. We're on a program of just trying to not make as many wines and simplify our lives in the winery and the salespeople's lives.
Did it work?
It is working.
No, it didn't work. You're just as busy.
Actually, that's true.
Well, here we are. What's it like being, you're surrounded by your peers. Do you get a sense of the BC wine industry? Not the wine industry that we know looking in stores, mm-hmm. but the actual industry in that Okanagan Valley. How are we doing, Randy?
I think we're doing fine. I think we're, the quality levels of the wines just seem to be getting better and better. I mean, you taste across the board. There's a lot of producers that are making, world-class wines now, and which maybe wasn't the case 10 years ago. I think the consistency is really, really, really strengthened within the industry.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Stefan?
Consistency is the big thing that we strive for. I mean, obviously excellence, but I hear from, even here at the booth, people coming by every year, tasting our Pinot Gris, going, yes, I'm going to buy that again. And that for us is we want to make sure that the wines are equally good every year.
Good. Do you have any plans for this year, Randy, in terms of surprising us with anything?
We did introduce a new wine for us a couple years ago. Was our white Marim.
Yeah.
So we've made a, and for those that don't know, Marim in the Okanagan language means marriage. So us, we originally came out with our red Marim in 2008, which was a classic blend of the classic red Bordeaux varietals. So Cab Sauv, Malbec, Merlot, and Cab Franc. A little bit of Petit Verdot for the first couple years, but then we dropped that out of the portfolio. But a couple years ago, we decided to carry that through onto the white side, and we came up with a white Marim. So Sauvignon Blanc Semillon blend. The Semillon's done in barrel for about 8 weeks in barrel sort of thing, and then blended together. So we've got this white Bordeaux now.
Stefan, any surprises this year from Poplar Grove?
No, I think we're keeping it pretty consistent this year. There's nothing new. We released last year a tiny bit of Semillon from the bench, which was really fun.
Okay.
Yeah, we did about 70 cases, planted on a steep hillside on the bench, done in puncheons for about 6 months. Fun things like that. We always try to provide something for our wine club that's a little more interesting.
Cool. You have any concerns about the future of the Okanagan? Any?
It's getting hotter.
It's getting hotter.
It's getting hotter and it's getting smokier. Yeah. Fortunately, we haven't had any. I think you need to be pretty close to a fire to get some of those smoke characters enter your wine, because we did have a pretty inundated last August smoke-filled atmosphere but it didn't translate to any of the wines as a result. So. Depending on where you are, I guess you can maybe dodge that bullet, but it still does affect the climate and such.
Okay. Yeah. One more thing?
Yes.
Tell me about the wines you brought that are on the table.
I brought the new release, the 2018 Pinot Gris. That will be out. I've seen it shipping already, so okay. I know pallets are moving out to the stores.
Okay.
Aromatic, Naramata bench mainly, fruit source.
Pinot Gris.
And this, we brought the 2017 Quemquemt Pinot Noir, or QQ for those that have a little trouble saying Quemquemt. So it's a blend of about three or four different blocks that we get. All the grapes are sourced from the band-owned and managed vineyard by Sam Baptiste in the Oliver area.
Sam Baptiste.
Old Sam, the legend.
Take care of him, please.
Yeah,
he's a good guy. And yourselves. Thank you both.
Thanks, Jerry. Much appreciated.
Stefan Arneson is the winemaker at Poplar Grove, and sitting beside him is Randy Picton, the senior winemaker at Incomeep. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. The first pink wine of the year is being released by The Hatch today in their tasting room. It's the 2018 Flippin' the Bird Rosé, best enjoyed upside down. A delightful blend of 82% Merlot, 18% Gamay. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. You're invited to join their wine club to receive a mixed case of all their fabulous new releases. Or you can customize your case to suit your preferences. There's free shipping for orders on the island or the lower mainland, plus discounted shipping elsewhere. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. I'm warning you now, the bear is in the house. Bill Eggert, Fairview Cellars. Golden Mile is on my left, and directly across from him, winemaker from Quail's Gate, Ross Baker, who I don't know if he knows what he stepped into. Have you met Mr. Bill Eggert?
No, I have not.
No. Oh, good. Great. Step forward.
Virgin.
So, Bill.
So, Terry.
What are you pissed off at these days?
Where do you want me to get it? Politics? Sex? Religion? Which subject?
How about wine?
Wine? What am I pissed off with wine? Actually, it's pretty tough to say because we're doing so well. I mean, things are looking good.
Wow.
I mean, of course, the LDB is the LDB, right? You can they're the whipping boy. So, but, yeah, well, let's go with the LDB.
But how are we doing as a wine region?
I think we're doing okay. We're still, you know, there's still a lot of growing pains, you know, because we are growing. And so we're having to get used to more people, different people now. But it's going good. But like I said, it's growing pains.
Ross, why did you want to get into this wine business?
Well, I wanted to get into it because I was in the valley and it was all around me at all the time. And I really wanted to explore. I worked at Red Rooster, just in the wine shop.
Okay.
That was my first sort of taste.
But you saw what it was like.
Yes.
And still you wanted to do it.
Yeah, it went through harvest. And they whipped me in harvest, and then went to New Zealand, and they whipped me even harder. And then we came back to Canada, and fell in love with it ever since.
And who's the luckiest guy in the valley? You get to work with Quail's Gate.
That would be me.
What are you pouring today?
What am I pouring? It is our 2016 Reserve Chardonnay.
What's pouring at the table?
So we have our 2017 Chenin Blanc, our 2017 Reserve Pinot Gris. Another wonderful wine, 2016 Reserve Chardonnay, which we'll be tasting. Our 2016 Reserve Pinot Noir, which has been probably the favorite at the table. Everyone comes up every 2 seconds.
Yep.
And our 2016 Merlot.
Can I ask him another question? Ross, the Pinot we love, we come to Quail's Gate initially for the Pinot. We want to know what this is all about, but what else is showing itself, and what are we going to know Quail's Gate for maybe 5 years from now?
In 5 years, if it's not Pinot and not Chardonnay, I like to see Riesling
okay. As
a big part. I think it's one of the best varieties in the Okanagan. And there's a lot of solid Riesling varieties out there in the north. So hopefully in 5 years, we can be known for that as well.
Okay. It's a large load.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Bill.
I'm here.
I see that you have a 2009 The Bear.
Yes.
And a 2016 The Bear.
Yeah.
Are we doing a vertical?
If you want.
Sure.
It's your show. You can do whatever you damn well please.
No, I can.
Yes.
But here's the deal. What else are you pouring from Fairview?
I'm pouring a Pinot Noir from my northern vineyard.
Where's that?
It's, well, north for me.
Yeah.
So north of Oliver, right by Vaso Lake.
Okay.
I'm pouring Cab Franc, The Bear. I'm pouring a Cab Sauv. The whole reason I'm here this year is because it's California Cab, right? And Cab is my main grape. So I'm pouring Cab and the Bear.
So tell me about what goes into that Bear. What should we know about it?
So the Bear is my premium blend. I used to call it the Bear's Meritage. Got away from that because you know how I am with politics.
Yeah.
It's just basically, it's my premium blend, predominantly Cab Sauv, then Merlot, Cab Franc, and then a tiny little bit of Malbec and an even smaller little portion of Petit Verdot. So five varietals.
Okay. Can I go back to Ross for a second?
Yep, absolutely.
Ross Baker, Quail's Gate. Ross, there's a dark vineyard just outside of the restaurant. You can't miss it. It's darker than the rest of the hill. It's your Foch, if I'm not mistaken. Please tell me you'll hold on to that Foch for one reason or another. Is it still there?
Oh, it's still there.
Okay.
I think there'd be a riot if we pulled it up.
Okay.
As much as people love our Pinot Noir and Chardonnay,
yeah,
there is an absolute following behind that Foch.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's great.
I just wanted to get that in there. Behave yourself, Bill.
I'm trying my best.
Please.
I'm doing my best.
How's that Golden Mile thing going?
It's there. It's an appellation.
Okay.
I have it on my bottle if I VQA the wine. I even have my bottle when it's not VQA'd because I can still do that, you know, the politics thing. I'm proud of the fact that I'm part of the Golden Mile. I think that we have something special there, and it's great to see other people carrying on with it now.
Welcome to the West Coast.
You know?
Bill Eggert, proprietor, and Ross Baker was the winemaker at Quail's Gate in the Okanagan. Thank you.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a weekly celebration of food, wine, and life with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we have arrived at that moment called the end of the interviews. And I wanted it to be Nova Scotia because they've come all this way and we want to talk to them. We want to know what the hell's going on there. Who's screwing around with Wolfville? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. There's a Lightfoot in Wolfville in the house. Rachel Lightfoot. Hello.
Hello.
And we have Jillian Mangai, who's come all the way from the Gaspereau Valley to talk to us about something we love, Benjamin Bridge. And beside them is Bruce Ewart, who left British Columbia, fell in love with the Nova Scotian, and started Lacadie Vineyards. And here we are all together. How are you?
Well.
Okay,
thank
how's
you for
the pour?
Us.
How's it? What are you pouring? What are you pouring?
So I have our 2016 Ancien Chardonnay from our estate.
Tell me about Ancien.
So Ancien is our reserve tier. So Ancien means old. We are a family-run winery. We've been farming our current piece of land four generations.
That's the Lightfoot part?
That's the Lightfoot part, yeah.
And the Wolfville is where you are?
Is the place. So it's the people and the place.
Yep.
So Ancien is a bit of a tribute to those who cared for the land before us. So our own ancestors as well as the Acadian farmers that are well-known in the region.
Wild fermented Chardonnay?
Wild fermented. It's organic, biodynamic certified.
Are you just teasing us, or will we be able to find it?
There is some here in the store today, a small amount. so hopefully soon we'll be here in a bigger way.
Jillian, how tough was it to roll out Benjamin Bridge? Because it was a great success story, but did you have to convince province by province to take the bubble?
Absolutely, and actually that's my boss, Ashley, did the hard work of going to every single province, every liquor board, and doing all the legwork and trying to tell the story and have them taste the wines, and it's been successful for us.
Well, the cool thing was the success was in the bottle.
It was absolutely.
It was a
Thank
killer.
You.
I still have a bottle handed to me, year one, no label. I don't even know what the cork says, but it's in my cooler, and I'm going to open it someday on a very special occasion. It's from you guys. It's the original
harvest.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Hello, Bruce.
Hello, Terry David.
How's the Gaspereau going, and how many different growing areas?
I think there's 20 wineries in Nova Scotia now, and there's some exciting new things happening in Nova Scotia. There's this year you'll see some exciting news about some framework that'll further validate the validity of our emerging region and create even more respect worldwide for our wine region. You're going to hear some neat things happening.
That's just a tease. What,
yeah, I can't say anything else.
Of course you can.
No.
When will this show itself?
This year. There'll be an announcement this year.
Okay.
Things are going well. We've just won a 92 points at Decanter in London for our bubbly. I've got it here for you to taste.
Tell us about the bubbly, the prestige.
Traditional method. It's a signature style for Nova Scotia. It's what we do best, I believe. And 5 years aging on the yeast lees and certified organic as well.
What did you bring to pour as well at the table?
We brought that to pour into other bubblies. It's all sparkling.
What are the other bubbles?
Oh, Vintage Cuvée.
Okay.
And Vintage Cuvée Rosé. And yes, they're all available here now. For the last 3 years, we have an agent here, and we're available.
But how tough was that to roll it out?
It's been a journey to get our wines here.
They
more,
don't exactly.
More than distance.
What's Benjamin Bridge pouring?
At our booth, here today I brought our non-vintage Brut to try. And so that is this iteration, 80% of the blend is from 2016. And then 20% is made up of reserve wines. And the reserve wines date as far back as 2002, which was our first cuvée at the winery. And then also at the table we have our non-vintage Rosé and our vintage Brut 2013.
I know people come to Benjamin Bridge, it's great bubble, but the fact that it's from Nova Scotia, did that help? Did they like that idea that it was coming from the other end of the country?
Absolutely. I think that's a big part of the narrative when we talk about Nova Scotia wines. There is something special about the influence of the Bay of Fundy on our winemaking, on our terroir.
Yep.
And I think there's an affinity as well. It's, you know, you guys are the West Coast, we're the East Coast.
Yep.
And it's terrific, terrific bubbles.
What else are you pouring at the table?
I also have some bubbles. I have our 2013 Blanc de Blanc Extra Brut. So that's 100% Chardonnay. I have our Pinot Noir Ancien, as well as a Choy Reba, single varietal Choy Reba.
No way.
Yeah, it's pretty
good. Get out of here.
That's fantastic.
So it represents, you know, the fresh, fragrant, aromatic whites that we also do fairly well in Nova Scotia.
Okay, she is Rachel Lightfoot, and that's why I want to identify her. Lightfoot and Wolf is the label. Benjamin Bridge is the bubble. Bruce Ewart is the guy who's leading he's one of the guys who committed to this area and made it work. Can we have a wine festival like this soon, your way, so we could come there?
Yeah, I think that'd be a fabulous idea to move this to Nova Scotia, with a Nova Scotia twist on it, of course.
Do they welcome you? Do they like you here in the room?
As long as we pour them wine, I think they're very happy.
Yeah, right. Okay. Thank you, and thank you for coming this distance. Have a great year.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
There's a Lightfoot in Wolfville in the house, Rachel Lightfoot. We have Jillian Mangai, Benjamin Bridge, and Bruce Ewart, Blackady Vineyards. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. You're invited to join their wine club to receive a mixed case of all their fabulous new releases. Or you can customize your case to suit your preferences. There's free shipping for orders on the island or the lower mainland, plus discounted shipping elsewhere. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com.